We are going to be looking at some great stuff this afternoon and looking at what it means to be apostolic resource community. The theme of this term and one of Open Heaven's strategic goals. And being apostolic includes a call for us all to grow in maturity and as individuals to step out and become spiritual mothers and fathers. And this is going to be expressed in our lives in Open Heaven, in our community, but also expressed in the different spheres of influence that we have in our studies, in our work, in our community homes. And I just, right from the start, I want to say, when you hear the words mother and father, that is for all of us. That is a call for everyone here to grow into. And it's not about biological parenthood here. This is about spiritual parenthood. And there's not one person in the room who's excluded from that call. So just as I'm using that language, don't feel that that's not for you yet. I really want to emphasize that this is for now. This is a word for now for you. So take hold of that and allow the Holy Spirit to stir you this afternoon around this whole topic. So family, it's God's idea. You see, right through Scripture, the blueprints of how God does stuff is all hung on family. And it's his primary way that he chooses to raise up godly men and women who are going to be healthy, secure, and powerful people. People who know who they are and know what they're called to. I want to show you that the family model of leadership is modeled by the early church and Jesus himself. And we're going to explore this whole thing of spiritual parenting and looking at the life of Moses, who I love a bit of Moses, and Paul, who's also very awesome. And then look at how we can step into that ourselves. That's where we're going today. So we read about this call to spiritual parenthood in Paul's letters. And he is writing in his letters to the many churches that he has started and grown and encouraged and established across the whole of the Mediterranean region. And his words in these letters are like that of a father caring for the children that God has given him. slide up here will show us 1 Corinthians 4, verse 14. And these are the words that he says. And just a snapshot of his heart, really. I'm writing to you. Not to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. Wow, it's a powerful invitation. Paul's saying, look at me, follow me. This is how to do it. I get challenged by that. You see, the recurring theme and pattern through the whole of the Scripture and in Jesus' life, his leadership model was about revealing the Father. That's what he said, I came to do. He said these words, which I love. If you see me, you've seen the Father. In John 14, verse 9. The Bible talks about Jesus being the exact representation in character and behavior as his Father in heaven. What an awesome way that God wants to reveal himself to us. And that's in Hebrews 1, verse 3. You see, God's longing to show his people what he's like and that Jesus represents the Father perfectly. And he modeled that over 3 years, didn't he, with the disciples. He took this motley crew of shady fishermen, tax collectors, and slightly dodgy lads about town. And and he crafted in them something incredible, showing them his life. He demonstrated leadership. And he fathered them and kind of mothered them as well. And we can look at that in a bit more depth. But you see, Jesus was doing that counterculturally in a world where the Jewish people were occupied by a military force, the Romans. And the way the Romans did leadership wasn't all that fun. It was about commanders. It was about generals. It was about heroes and soldiers. And their force, their means were not that fun. In terms of asserting their authority. And then on the other side, you've got the Jewish zealots, the leaders. It was all about knowing the right stuff, doing the right thing, being religiously correct. So the leadership models that were around in Jesus' time didn't really tune into God's heart of father and mother. It's important to know. The role of mother and father is crucial. You see, it's our mothers and fathers are the primary givers of identity, security, affirmation, and love. That's universal. And Father God, we experience spiritual parenting from Father God and from the people that he puts us around here in open heaven, in our church community and broader. And then as we grow and mature, there's a call for us, as I said, to be mothers and fathers as well. So Paul mentions in those letters those that he considers children spiritually to him. And he creates this understanding of his responsibility to them. The book of 2 Corinthians, if you ever spent any time in that, it is like kind of, not quite a love letter, but it's a letter of concern from a dad to his kids. Because he covers the whole gambit. He's like, maybe some of you can relate to this with your own parents, but he's correcting them. He's saying, that's not quite okay. Behaving like this needs to change. And he's calling them into love. So he's constantly concerned for them, instructing them. 2 Corinthians 11:27 says, I've labored and toiled and often gone without food and sleep. I've been cold and naked, and besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Flipping into 1 Thessalonians 2:6, he says here, we're not looking for praise from people, not from you or anyone else. Even those apostles of Christ, we could have asserted our authority. Instead, we were like young children among you. Just as nursing mothers care for their children, so we cared for you. Because we love you so much, we're delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. And I love that because, you know, Paul was probably a pretty convincing preacher, but he didn't spend his time just trying to teach and convince them through arguments. He shared his life. He chose to be intentionally open and vulnerable with those that he was leading. And he chose to be countercultural. He wasn't domineering. He didn't decree over people what they should do. He called them out into their best version of themselves. He gave gently, like a child, and he fathered sacrificially and nursed like a mother. So let's look at some of these principles of what it means to be a spiritual mum or dad. And I want to look at a bit more of Paul, kind of his backstory, and Moses, what was going on there, and where they came from, and what God did with them, what they carried, and what they brought to others. See, these two guys are really significant in the Bible. If you know and read through Scripture, you know that Moses brought the Ten Commandments. He kind of established what was the first covenant, the covenant of the law with the Hebrews, the Israelites. And then Paul champions the new covenant after Jesus' resurrection, covenant of grace. So this is why these two are so important. So in Moses, we find most of his story starts around Exodus 2. I'm not going to go into it today. There's so much in there. But have a chance to read through that when you can after maybe sometime this week. see, his experience of parenting is really interesting. And he's got a birth dad who was a Hebrew and his mum, a Hebrew. But they were living in slavery in Egypt. They were not free people. And in order to save his very life from Pharaoh's order to kill the baby boys, his own mum acts heroically with faith and courage and sticks a newborn child in a basket, floats it on this whacking great river called the Nile, which is just mind-boggling when you think about the faith of that woman. She trusted that God was going to look after her boy. And so we know the story that Moses is sort of scooped up out of the Nile by the princess of Pharaoh's own house. And this irony that the man who wants to kill him ends up kind of looking after Moses. And but the beauty of it is that Miriam, his sister, is tracking along. And she says, look, I can find someone to look after this baby for you while he's growing up. I just love that. The princess doesn't get to do the first 5 years of hard graft of being a parent. She gets someone else to do it. And but it's his mum. It's his Hebrew mum. And she's there speaking over him the stories of the Hebrews, the stories of their faith, what it means to follow God, that formative time, the oral tradition and history of the Hebrews. So when his birth parents did as much as they could to inject into him godly parenting, spiritual parenting. But then he grows up in this pagan household with Pharaoh, the dictator and crusher of people, probably not a very fun guy to be around in some respects, who also worships the sun and idols. Quite a mixture. Maybe some of us can relate to that. A mixture in our families. There probably would have been, you know, a culture of power and control and fear in that household. So despite the privilege, he had quite a lot that would have been not so great to hang around with in his life. And then he becomes an adult, and he gets a bit of an identity crisis. He's unaware of the Hebrews and the life they have to live. He knows that he has family out there among the slaves. And out of a sense of justice, he kills an Egyptian slave driver who's beating a Hebrew. Then he flees in fear for his life. So he gets out of Egypt and finds himself in a desert in Midian. And Moses rocks up as this prince of Egypt and sort of in disguise, then looks after these ladies who are watering their camels or sheep or whatever they were doing. And there's seven daughters belonging to this man called Jethro, which I always thought was a very English name, but it's right back there in the Bible. And Jethro, he was this kind of priest shepherd character. And he says, thanks for looking after my daughters. Here's one to marry, Zipporah. And so that's Moses' life set up, really, out in the desert with his new wife. And Moses steps into a new season. He's come out of Pharaoh's parenting and into the parenting of his father-in-law, Jethro, who starts to give him input and advice and leadership, mentoring, wisdom. Then we have the Moses encounter with God, the life-changing moment where he meets God in the burning bush. And I love that. If you've ever watched Prince of Egypt, it's quite good, that scene. I like a bit of that. There's nothing quite like meeting God to change you and shake you. And at that burning bush, Moses starts the journey to becoming the father of a nation. When he arrives back in Egypt, he's transformed. And his impatience and anger that led to murder starts to become patience that tracks with a needy and desperate nation who've got no fathers, the Israelites. He faithfully gives out parenting and input into his brother and his sister, and then later on the 70 tribal elders that he raises up, and finally his successor, Joshua, who takes over from him when he dies. See, Moses did some awesome stuff here, and the kind of values of spiritual fathering is that he invited people to journey with him, quite literally, in the desert. He invited people to see the good stuff and the bad stuff. He didn't really try and hide it all. And he was open with people. He could see the good and the bad. So like Moses, maybe we need to recognize that our scripting of what parenting is has been shaped by experiences from our own parents. And our parents are ultimately not perfect. Who knows that in this room? Yeah, I do. They're imperfect people who don't fully represent godly mothering and fathering. However, like Moses, there is hope. You see, he had to contend with a pagan mum or adopted mum, a controlling and angry grandfather, a birth mum and dad who gave him up for adoption. Now, that kind of sits against you for many options of maybe some roots of fears and lies that could have got into your life. And but that encounter with God and Jethro's input transform him. So maybe there's a call for you today to look at what has happened that I just need to reject and let go of from my parents. As much as they might love me, I need to step away from some of the things and the patterns and behaviors that were going on in my childhood. I just want to ask you to think and pause and just ask the Holy Spirit to stir things in you. If you know you need to step away from some things, then today could be a really significant day to draw a line under some things in your own past, because God's got better for you, as he wants you to step into who you are called to be as mums and dads spiritually. So Paul, we've done Moses. Paul, another mixed up kid. He came from a devout Pharisaical background. He did religion to the max. This man knew it all. He was raised for 30 years under the tutelage of Pharisaical rabbis who could preach every bit of scripture, know it all back to front, but probably without a lot of love. And in fact, we see that worked out in Paul's life as he starts to persecute the Christians and kill them off because he says, you're not doing it right. You're cheating. That's not how it is. Grace, what's all that about? Well, he doesn't even know what grace is at that point in his life, but he knows the law. So his spiritual parenting up until his Damascus Road experience, when again he meets Jesus, he meets with God, wasn't going great. But at that point in his life, he's confronted with this call to go and do something different. And Jesus blinds him and then says, go and hang out with some different people. And he had to learn and submit to some new people, some new parents in his life, to Peter, to Ananias, to Sapphira and Barnabas, these amazing pillars and foundational people in the Christian church who sowed their lives into Paul, this crazy kid who was killing their friends. That is awesome parenting from them. Paul had to learn that it wasn't about religion and rules, it was about relationship. Sapphira was a mother to him and helped him to understand scriptures and kind of see them through this new lens of knowing Jesus. And you see, from what Paul learned, he established a new way of doing leadership in the new church. You know, he could have carried on in the old school way, which was about, I've got all the answers, you're just the people, listen to me. But actually, God was raising up in Paul this mothering and fathering approach. And he called himself a father. Paul writes about that, though we know he had any natural children. But then he goes on to spiritually invest in Timothy, in Mark, on Emmaus, and other numerous churches with many other mothers and fathers in them. So I want to look a little bit at the hallmarks of what fathering and mothering might look like. When it comes to being a spiritual parent, it's not about qualifications. Let's just state that. It's about, have you been with Jesus? Just like Paul and Moses. So it's about who you've been with and the change in you that then you get to allow to rub off on those around you. And it's a call to love, to model, to train, to impart, encourage, and multiply. I love this because I think this clarifies it, but it's a question of can I help you with your journey in God, not what can I teach you. It's about coming alongside and engaging with each other's lives. And in the natural, as spiritual parents, what you carry will be reproduced in others. The DNA in you gets passed on. And so because of that, let's just look at Deuteronomy 11 now. I want to kind of dig into a little bit of what does this look like. So Deuteronomy 11, 18 and 19. Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your homes and on your gates. There's some keys in here about how God says we should do spiritual parenting. It's intended through informal relationship in everyday activities rather than structured teaching. Its core as a spiritual child observes the mother and father in the faith in the day-to-day. Decisions, choices, and attitudes. And there's something about this time and season of life for many of you here in OH1 that you are surrounded by people. And you can't get away from people sometimes, can you, at this stage of life? You live in shared homes. You're surrounded by hundreds of students in halls of residence. There's plenty of opportunity for your lives to be open and visible to others. And I guess is demonstration is the key. And that's where it's tangible, isn't it? That's where it's real. It's letting people have windows into your life to see your process, to see how you deal with hurt, pain, rejection, to see how you pray, to see how you engage with God. What happens when you're doing well? What happens when you're not doing so well? And that's what Jesus did. He spent 3 years with these guys hanging around, doing life, letting them see the good stuff and how you deal with the bad stuff. And he let them take risks with him, and he trusted them. He said, go off and have a go. Go and pray. Go and heal that person. And when it didn't work, they came back and said, what did we do wrong? And he was there imparting as a father to give them the courage they needed to go again. You know, I was 18. I spent a gap year before I went to university. Who did gap years here? Does anybody do them anymore? Or does everybody just go, I better get to uni quick and get through this the mountain of cost and debt? Good, a couple. Well, I went to Uganda. I loved Africa. And I went ploughing with oxen. I know you can look at me and think, is that man an oxen plower? Yes, I am. I planted trees. Got out there with my machete in the bush and had a great time. And when I was there, I was working for a guy called Richard, who was English, and he's out there as a missionary. And this man just modeled mentoring and fathering to me in an incredible way, and trusted me well beyond what I'd trust myself with, particularly his motorbike, which I'd never ridden before. It gave me a 10-minute lesson, then sent me off down the road with no helmet, no license, and no idea. But you know, that's what it's about giving people opportunity to take risks and possibly kill themselves. Fathering people and pushing them out of their comfort zones, believing in them and seeing the good in them and the gold in them and saying, go on, you can do it. And that had an incredible and powerful example in my life. And I got to see not only him at work, but also him with his family. He had three kids, and the way he loved his family and gave to them was such an inspiration and sticks with me even now. And I think, you know, there's something in that I've seen. Maybe you can identify with others in your life already, maybe youth leaders, maybe uncles, aunts, maybe your own mum and dad, maybe older brothers and sisters who actually took you on a journey spiritually. And they saw the good stuff in you and said, come on, you can do it. So how do we do it? How do you do this spiritual mothering and fathering? Well, I think there's sort of three keys. First, it's pursuing maturity in your own walk with God, taking responsibility for your own growth. You know, some of us cry out for mums and dads, but actually God's kind of already given us stuff that we can hang on to and step into. And it may be that you're at a point of maturity that God wants you to look out for people to be the parent to. So seeking others to parent you, and giving them permission to speak into your life as well. Pursue maturity. Ask for others to put into your life. And then when it comes to the opportunity to be a spiritual mum or dad to somebody, it's trying to live selflessly. Let others in on your lives. Let them see what's happening. What's your process? There's a guy called Gary Thomas who wrote a book called Sacred Marriage, Sacred Parenting. But he's got this great line. He says, parenting challenges our passivity towards spiritual growth. And he's addressing natural parenting, but it is about spirituality as well. The challenges that come up to us when we're parenting others will push you beyond your comfort zone. And you will start to give out of what you don't have, which means you have to give out of what God gives you. Otherwise, you burn out. You've got to go to God. And, you know, sometimes when we start pushing into things with people, we get impatient, we get angry, we get upset, and sometimes we want to hide that stuff. But when there are people looking at your life, looking to you for input, you have to kind of process that with people and say, this is my stuff and this is what I'm doing about it. And that speaks volumes to people. So we don't need to be scared of letting people see how we do life. So spiritual parenting may call us to father or mother those that are our peers, and that's particularly relevant, I think, for OH1. But also people who might be even older than us and those who are younger than us. And those relationships might be about some of these values, really. It's about creating space for people, opening doors for them, giving them opportunity to track with you, take them places. You know, maybe that could be as simple as, I'm going to Club Mission. Are you going to come with me? I'll stick with you. Let's do this together. Learn from me. I don't know much, but I know a little. Come along. It's about being a sounding board, a place where that person can bring freedom of expression. And you can be a source of wisdom. You know, wisdom is just God's truth in your life that's been worked out. Just share that with people. And this can be a launch pad. The mothers and fathers spiritually in my life who have been able to just say, go for it. I believe in you. And a place to gather and regroup when it doesn't go right, when you mess up, when you hit the wall, when you fail. We need those people to say, I still believe in you. I've not lost faith in you. And those who identify what's going on in you, the potential, call it out of you, pray it in. And I love being part of Open Heaven, and I see this happening, and I've seen this happen over the last 11 years that I've been in Open Heaven. And it's a place that we can start operating as spiritual mothers and fathers. But that is not all. That is not all God has for us. You see, it's also in the workplace, in the community. It's where we're called, where we do life. And there are people in this room who are starting to be leaders in their sphere of influence, who are starting to step out and become mothers and fathers in the places that God's put them. I'm going to pick up a couple of names. I love to just talk about the great people that are amongst us. And she won't mind me saying this. Fran Collins, what a legend. Love her. She is someone who brings mothering and spiritual parenting to those that she impacts. She's got students who wind her up rotten, but she guides them through the tricky path of what it is to be an artist and helps pull out the gold in them and helps tutor and mentor them, bring them on. But it's also in the context of business. As Fran, many of you know Fran, she helps runs a marketing business and design business. And in that context, she's told me about conversations where she gets these clients who kind of call her in for a meeting, and the last thing they want to talk about is the work. Actually, they said, Fran, I've got this stuff going on. What do you think? And she's in that place, in that person's life, to just drop truth in, drop love in, drop wisdom in from heaven. And that's just brilliant. And then our very own Alan Radbourne, the entrepreneurial legend, PhD student, extraordinaire. I love this man. I love hearing his story about the £1 challenge, how he took it on. And he owned this thing and made it happen. And if you haven't bought or read the book, I'm sure Alan will be happy to supply you with one later. But Alan is a man who's allowing people to see his process. He's saying, journey with me. This is what I'm doing. Maybe it could work for you. Helping release people from cycles of negative relationships with money through doing the money course. Is it the money course? It is the money course. That's just powerful. And that is stepping out. That's what it starts to look like to be mothers and fathers, both within the community and in the spheres of influence that God calls us to. So here we are, community of vigilant mothers and fathers, called to care for those around us, our town, our church, our physical children, our spiritual children, stepping into what it means to be an apostolic resource community. And I feel that that really is a call for most of us to take a step into being spiritual mothers and fathers. And that might be just the first step today. That might be something you're already working in. But it's God's call on us. And so I want to invite you, really, we're going to respond to what I've been talking about, so that we might fully live out what it is to be spiritual mums and dads in this world. So we can impart God's DNA, pass it on. Mothers and fathers, pass on the good stuff. So let's see where we can get to, what we can pass on and change in our environments. So there's sort of three ways I want to respond today. And one of the major blockages for us being spiritual parents for others in a good way is that we have been hurt, disappointed, let down, or abandoned by those that we look to as our own parents in the natural, or spiritual parents that we had looked to but didn't deliver what we hoped for. And that can hurt, and that can leave a wound in us that is a cap on us growing into what God has for us. Where there's unforgiveness, it's kind of like putting a no-go sticker across that pit of our heart. And God wants to peel some of those stickers off today and get access into those places in our lives. And to truly receive godly fathering and mothering, we need to remove those obstacles. So we're going to do that. But secondly, it's about receiving God's love, God's fathering in our lives, his nurture, provision, forgiveness that we need. And that is a pathway to freedom and wholeness. So I want to give an opportunity to respond to his love for today. And we're going to do that in a way of doing communion in a moment. If you have never responded to Jesus and you're here, love to talk with you, love to pray with you. If you're like, do you know what? This isn't a reality yet for me. Then this is a great time to do it. But if you feel like it's gone a bit cold, I'm a bit far, things have got in the way, then come and renew your connection with Father God today. Take communion. So, and finally, that call to grow into mums and dads, spiritual fathers and mothers. It's not just for open heaven, it's for the world, for where we're called to. So, we've got kind of three ways to respond. The first will be about forgiveness and releasing pain and hurt. And we've got some stones in that box over there and a prayer. And I want you to, if this is you, if God's stirring you up, if you need to release some forgiveness to your own mum and dad, to those in your life who have hurt you, who you look to, who disappointed you, go and read that prayer, take a stone and follow the actions there. Release that stone into the water tank that's there as a symbol of letting go. And if you want to reconnect with Father, there's communion. And then finally, on the floor, stepping into what it is to be a mum and dad spiritually, I think it'd be great to sign our names as a declaration of intent that this is me, God. I'm going to offer myself to be that spiritual mum and dad wherever you've put me for whoever it is. And I'm going to make a stand today. So just take a pen, make a signature, make a mark on that paper. And if you want prayer, then just get underneath the DJ booth there and we'll pray for you too. So I'm going to invite the band. And as they play, I want you to just ask God, what do you want me to do first? And whatever you get, whatever nudge you get, just do it. Don't wait. You probably already know, but activate your faith today as God is going to cut some things off, release some new life, and call you into something new. Rage.